Well, hello everyone and welcome to That's Very Mary. Today we have Jenna back with us.
Yay! Hi Mary, thanks for having me back.
So we figured we would talk through the Batman.
Dun dun. Vengeance.
Jenna and I saw it and we both really, really loved it. And I just wanted to do, this one deserves a movie review. It deserves everything.
Oh yeah.
It really is great.
And not only like Robert Pattinson like has just come back into our lives after being dormant for so long.
I feel so bad because I was ready to like write him off.
Oh, me too.
The earth, because I just couldn't live in a world where Edward Cullen and Batman were the same person.
I was a hater at first. I will admit.
I was livid. I was really upset because you go from like Ben Affleck casting, which was already terrible, to this, and I was just like, the Batman is going to be dead. Like, you just can't come back from that. So, but I think I really liked this because I was so surprised because I had zero expectations going into this.
Yes.
And it just was one of the best Batman films. I know this is going to be a hot take, but I'm actually ready to die on the hill that he might be my favorite Batman.
I think it was not only Robert Pattinson, but the way that the whole Batman was portrayed compared to the other Batmans, like Christian Bale's or...
Yeah, I mean, I think the only other one I would ever compare it to is Michael Keaton. But I think the thing was Michael Keaton's Batman was just like a narrative story.
Yeah.
And it was like... But the thing I liked about this one is it was a very grounded superhero movie. And we saw so much Batman, not a lot of Bruce Wayne. I'm like really over Bruce Wayne because like, I get it. He's like the playboy who has all the money and all the things and like loves Rachel and like RIP to Rachel, but
poor Rachel.
but you know, it's just like that story's been played out like 1,000 times. Like we never focus on the Batman that much.
Right. And I think the portrayal of Bruce Wayne in this Batman, I liked it a lot more than the others. And he said in an interview too, he was like, it's really hard for Bruce Wayne, if you're thinking about personality types, to juggle being a playboy, pretending to live that socialite life, to then putting on a mask and a cape and beating people up. He's like, it was too easy almost to play those two different parts. And so I like how this Bruce Wayne, he was conflicted. He was like almost, you know, couldn't control. He had to like be the Batman and that was it.
Well, and that's why I liked this one too, because it was like you saw like the internal, because he's only been Batman for 2 years. So I think that's the thing. It's like we're in the beginning stages, but he's like struggling. And I think that's where you saw like in the beginning, he like came into this thing like very vengeful, like that's his thing, like I'm vengeance, very angry at just life and just beating people up, just like straight up, if you're a bad guy, he's just gonna destroy you. And then by the end of the movie, I think we saw him want to genuinely save people. And I think that was just like the switch that we saw, because it was like he went from being this like I hate everybody to like I want to help people.
Right. Yeah, to my point, he just like Batman became his
persona. Yeah.
And like it wasn't as easy for him to switch and play this other part, which I appreciated how they portrayed him in this one.
I really liked it. I think it was one of my favorites. And this one was directed by Matthew Reeves and there was quite a bit of Nirvana in it. And I learned
everybody is a Nirvana fan.
Everybody. Well, I mean, we should have been before because it's one of the best bands to ever exist. Sure. But I watched a whole documentary on it. I think it's still on Netflix. Or maybe it's on the Foo Fighters and, like, you know, coincidentally.
They were mentioned, yeah.
They're part of the same band. Sure. But I really liked that Matthew Reeves listened to Nirvana while he wrote the movie. And that's why you see Robert Pattinson, like, kind of in this very emo state, most of it.
Yeah.
And I thought that the soundtrack was brilliant, actually.
Oh, brilliant.
Because it was just, like... I think it wasn't too much. It was just very setting into like this, again, like this like very emo side of Batman that you see him like really shed off this like Bruce Wayne playboy persona and actually just like struggle with like what he's struggling with. And I think it was interesting too, like the relationship between him and Alfred. But anyhow, we can get more into that. But yeah, if you could rank this, like score this movie, what would it be?
Oh, that's just so hard. I I want to say a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Solely because not just Batman and his, the way he was portrayed, but the whole movie as its own.
Yeah.
The choices and I feel like DC's problem, one of their problems, is that they have never been able to cast the right characters, whether that's the main.
Okay. But yeah, I thought the casting was great. I thought everything about it. And that's the thing. DC has been trying to, I think the thing with DC is they try to be really dark and it just hasn't worked. I think the most recent DC movie I really, really liked was Shazam. And you don't like Shazam? I think I was pleasantly surprised with it because it genuinely had this like nice humor twist that we haven't seen in DC in a while. And I didn't really know anything about Shazam, but I do remember it came out before Avengers Endgame. And we went to a showing and the guy next to me was like, I'm seeing this so I can go see Endgame. I'm like, well, you're gonna be really disappointed because that's Marvel and this is DC. And I'm just really confused, but it's fine. And then, but I liked it because it just, again, it was unexpected. But I think DC has really been trying to go with this like very dark route and it just like hasn't worked until now. Because I feel like Batman was the right person, because if anybody has a free card to be really upset with life, it's Batman.
Right.
Because like he lost both of his parents because Gotham is corrupt. And
to add to that, I also really appreciated how like we know Batman's story.
Right.
We've heard it dozens of times. Yeah. And so I liked how they didn't completely dive into the parents' death. Like, oh my flashbacks. I know
if I see one more time where like he grabs pearls flying and they go around off, and it's just, or he's like sitting there and it's like, and it's always raining in Gotham.
Yeah.
It's like Seattle. Like it's always raining. And
it's,
you know,
forks.
That's right. See, I saw something. It was like, we knew the vampire would become the bat or something.
No, this was a Breaking Dawn part 5.
I know. It was very just dark, but I mean, but yeah, I think that's just the thing. DC just hasn't been able to get it until now. And I hope this is their year, because with Aquaman coming out and then this, and they have, oh, the Black Adam, which is like Shazam's nemesis. That looks cool. I can't wait to see The Rock play himself again.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about him, but to go back, I also just liked how they portrayed Gotham.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's just very different from what we've seen before. Yeah.
I think they were very upfront with the political corruption side in this one. And I think that's the thing. Gotham is very similar. I guess Batman's very similar to Arrow because they both have their like backstory. And Arrow, did you watch Arrow?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think it was his sister's. Who has like the connection to Ra's al Ghul? I think it's like his sister.
Oh, anyhow, Black Canary.
Yeah. So yes, that's right. So Ra's al Ghul trained Batman, right? And so I think they have very similar MOs in the sense of like they're very prestigious people in their community who's just been like over and over again. And like they just keep getting screwed over and then they lost their parents and they want to come back and like be vengeful, I guess. But I think that's the thing. It was just like they were very upfront with like Gotham is just past the point of no return. And it's like the police are corrupt. Like they can't even, you can't even trust the police. Like you can't trust anybody. So the only person who you can trust is this random vigilante.
Right.
Because he's very smart. And that's the one thing I will say. So this movie set up like a criminal, like you're solving a crime. And I think that it let us dive into how smart Bruce Wayne is. Truly. Like, I think it's similar. Like, if you want to compare it to somebody like Iron Man, like, you really forget. Like, remember when Iron Man was in his bunker and he made his stuff? Like, you really saw, like, how smart he is. And I think with this one, it was just how quick and just how brilliant of a person he really is. And I think that's why I liked it, because he was just, like, they just kind of let him be him.
Right. I agree.
And it was just, like, because when last time we saw the Riddler in the Batman was Jim Carrey, and it was very funny.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously Jim Carrey. That's one of my favorite movies, Batman Forever.
I love him.
but I think that's the thing. It was just like, you know, again, it was just like this interesting narrative that we followed of just like him really solving this crime to just like be vengeful. And then obviously meets up with Catwoman.
What? No, before we get into talking about her, I because that's a rabbit hole that I would love to go down. But no, I did like how, because we're not only following his plot line, Batman, but we're following this murder mystery too. So it's like, not only are we just watching the Batman do his thing,
right,
but we're watching, like, what is the Riddler about to do next?
Right. You know? And that's, you're trying to figure out the sequence of events of, like, how he's going to, like, who's his next victim?
Right. Who killed Bruce Wayne's parents? Like, what, who is the, who is he mad at?
Right. Well, and I think, again, it's like, you see a lot of these, it's this vigilantism sense in the, in all of their perspectives. I think one's the villain, one's not. But I think the Riddler just feels, and he's always been this character who is just feeling so unseen. Mm-hmm. And you take matters into your own hands. You just take people down. Like, you just find all the dirt on them. And
Paul then you just take them
Dano down. Did a great job.
He bodied this role. Yeah. I love Paul Dano. I've been a fan of him
since Little Miss Sunshine.
Yes. And so I just think he's a phenomenal actor. And the only thing I would say is that I wish we saw more of him acting. Yeah. But I think this is a good introduction.
The part that he did was pretty brilliant, because it was like, it wasn't scary. It was just psychologically scary, which is, I think, so much harder to do.
Oh, absolutely. I remember sitting there and feeling slightly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, he's playing this part really well because, you know, he might have some mental illness stuff going on. He might have some things going on, and it was uncomfortable to watch him go little bananas at the end.
Well, I think that was like, you know, it was, I think that's the thing in this performance that was different. It was just like, he embodied this person who was just so far gone and so upset with everybody that they're willing to do anything to get justice at the expense of themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that was the piece that his performance just like really, really shined.
Yeah.
Because it, again, I think with somebody like, when you're talking about a villain, like a Heath Ledger role, it was just so overt, because it was just so contrary to what you were seeing. Like, he was clearly the villain. But I think this one was like, you started to see, I think, the human side of him more. Mm-hmm. And like, when he was like, I was abandoned, I was this, nobody paid attention to me. Like, it was like, you were able to relate. I think somebody like the Joker, I don't know how you could, you know what I mean? Like, he's just so far gone at that point.
Well, Joaquin Phoenix's Joker movie
was amazing.
And I think what the point is, and the same with the Riddler, is that you see these certain people are on his side. Like, you, like in the Joker movie with him, I was on, like, you're like, wow, this guy's getting beat up.
Yeah.
Like, I do kind of feel bad for him. And I think they did a good, I mean, obviously what he's doing is not right.
Right.
But I think that's what they were trying to do with Paul Dano's character. I think we'll see more of him.
I do too. Well, and I hope so. I think that's the thing. I was like, I think the way this was casted is kind of gives these like underrated people a chance to shine. And even who was the Penguin? I can't even think of his name.
Colin Farrell.
Yeah, because that's the last person I expected to do a good job.
No, he said in an interview he was walking around in Penguin's like
outfit. He's unrecognizable.
People on set were trying to kick him off. They were like, "Why do you like, you know, cat like crew?"
Yeah,
but he's like, they're like, no, that's Colin Farrell. Yeah. They're like, what?
He was unrecognizable. But I was genuinely surprised, because I think the only other performance I've liked of him recently was Harry Potter, or the Fantastic the Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
Which technically was Harry Potter, but you know, same
world.
But for the most part, though, I feel like Colin Farrell gets put in the same bucket as like Nicolas Cage, where they just pick these terrible roles for themselves and they get a bad rap, because at the end of the day, you just got to pay their bills. You know what I mean? So they just take literally any role, and Colin Farrell just always gets a short end of the stick. But I think that this really shone through, like, he made the character his own, and I forgot that he's Scottish.
Yeah.
Which makes it even more impressive that
I love
like
a Scottish accent. These,
I just like, I forget that him, Robert Pattinson's British. Like, I just forget all these people because I only see them in American roles.
Moral of the story, I'm just really glad that Robert is back in my life.
Same.
I feel like a hole was in my chest and it's filled now. Thank you.
I know. I was back and forth with Robert for a while, but
yeah.
I did like him in Tenet, but the problem with Tenet was I had no idea. I like to this day.
The
I
problem with Tenet that. Was Tenet.
That was the most confused I've ever been in a movie in my entire life. And I saw it twice.
I literally
clarified nothing the second time.
I could tell you nothing about the movie.
No, it was so I listened to an hour and a half podcast and I had to stop because it just like, I was like, I can't.
I basically Googled the movie after seeing it.
Yeah. It's still
the
like,
worst.
It was not. I mean, it was good. It just was so confusing. But yeah, I'm just really glad that Robert Pattinson, Paul Dano, and then Zoe Kravitz did an amazing job.
She is the real star of the show. Are you kidding me?
I liked her so much better than Halle Berry. I did not like Halle Berry.
I love you, Halle Berry. I love you. However,
it just wasn't good. It just,
Halle Berry's Halle Berry. Yeah.
So
but
we all know Jenna loves Halle Berry.
But Zoe did a phenomenal job.
Well, because I think she really embodied this, like, again, and it was, I think the relationship between her and Robert Pattinson was perfect because it was like they were both going through similar things. And you saw Zoe Kravitz, like, she really portrayed this person who, again, was very frustrated, upset, wanted justice, but you have the Batman on her side being like, this is not how you solve it. This is going to hurt you more in the long run than it will now.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool because the other Catwoman, I feel like Halle Berry's Catwoman, she was just running around in her outfit.
She really just got the powers and then she had an issue with her boss.
Yeah.
Like that's really,
that's
like backstory.
She just like ran around and like killed people.
Looking all sexy.
Yeah. And it just like didn't, but it's not the Catwoman. And that's the thing. I liked this movie because it took a deep dive into the characters.
Absolutely.
And you got to understand kind of like how they got there. And it worked. It just all worked. And we finally got some backstory in the Catwoman that I don't think we have before.
No.
Like, it was just kind of like, you were saying she's got her powers and she was just up, like, ready to fight crime. And and it was like, but that's not why she's choosing to fight crime, you know? So
yeah, she's avenging her mama.
Yeah, her mom. And then we found out her dad and like all of it. And I was just like, I feel like we just got so much clarity because this was just like a story in and of itself. And it was like, when we saw it, like, nobody left the theater. Everybody was like, there's got to be a post-credit scene. And I was like, there's not.
Shout out to our peers in our theater because
nobody
nobody moved okay at the very end, but throughout the movie, like the little comedic relief that was in the Batman, people responded to in our theater, which made it so much funnier. The guy next to you at the edge of his seat the entire movie.
I liked him.
And at the very end, we're all, you know, hyped for the end credit scene. That's never gonna happen because that's not
DC doesn't operate like that.
We're in the wrong universe here. But everybody in the audience, oh, man.
I know.
That was good.
But it was, I love to go to the midnight showing or like the day of showing because they're the dedicated fan group and you get the most out of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It was really, really good. I would say it 10 out of 10. No questions. I think because I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
And I really, really loved what Matt Reeves did with it. It was very different. And I think the criticism that I've seen toward it was people like Christian Bale's. But here's the thing, and here's what I'm going to push back and say. This Batman, he's like between 25 and 30. Christian Bale was in his 40s, okay? Mm-hmm. So, we truly see the trilogy of Batman in Christopher Nolan's and Christian Bale's. You know, you see him, Batman Begins, and then The Dark Knight, and then The Dark Knight Rises, and you see him go through that. And this one, you just kind of see this character development over a short period of time.
Right.
And now we're going to get into the end where I think it's up in the air if it's the Joker or if it's Two-Face. But now it's just like a whole different universe of villains that we really haven't seen before.
The cast, if you Google it, he's in the cast of.
Who?
No, I'm wrong. He's not, Joker's not in the cast list, but.
No, I think it's Two-Face. I think it's Harvey Dent.
I have to rewatch the end scene because the guy that is going to play the Joker, Barry Keoghan.
Yeah.
Definitely pronounced his last name wrong. His nose is very distinctive.
Yeah.
And
well,
I think
I think he already, because somebody blew it on an interview with like Jimmy Kimmel or something.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, these people blow these interviews and it's amazing for us to watch because we know. But the one thing I will say though is, so Batman Forever, the the Riddler and Harvey Dent were like a BFFs. Duo, and I think that they're going to try to bring that back.
Yeah.
But this one I liked too, because like each villain got their own moment and it wasn't overpowering. Like,
well, and in the Dark Knight series, Two-Faced is Harvey Dent, which is the DA, but the DA and this Batman died.
Right.
So now we're going to see this new character come into play. A good DA that wants to actually do good and be good for Gotham.
Yeah.
A.K.A. Harvey Dent. Who's going to play that? I don't know.
Yeah.
Who would you like to see play Harvey Dent?
I don't know. I mean,
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Actually, I would like to see him in a Batman movie only because he takes on his roles so seriously.
Yeah.
Like, what was it? Like, The Reverend or something, where he, like, he's like, I'm going to stay outside for, like, a million years and, like, eat animals and, like, whatever. But, like, that's the thing. I was like, Leonardo DiCaprio is an odd bird, but, like, that man takes on roles with, like, the most seriousness. Tom Hardy, actually. No, he was already.
He's too short. It.
Or Cillian Murphy.
We need like a traditionally tall, handsome man. Like a traditional.
Henry Cavill. He can rejoin because Superman
He
got a really bad rap.
Not Ben. Okay. Drop in the comments who you would like to see play Harvey Dent.
Cillian Murphy, I feel like, would be cool.
Scarecrow?
Damn it.
Yeah, exactly.
They've already casted that. I just rewatched that too, but that was on my flight of death, so I was really worried that like it was gonna go down.
Yeah. In case you all are wondering, Mary does have a candle lit again.
I know.
This one's a little bit nicer quality though.
Yeah. If you guys listen to our other podcast, we had like a slight issue, so it was fine.
A slight issue being almost burned. Burned Mary's eyebrows off and almost burned the apartment.
Here's
down.
The thing. I wish I could say that like those are rare events, but like that's my life. That's just like how my life operates. So yeah. But anyhow,
10 out of 10.
I really like this movie. I really encourage you guys to go see it in the theater. Don't wait for this one to come out. Like that's the whole point of like us trying to do these like in real time, is to get you guys to go see it in the theater, because I think if you wait, you're going to miss like the cinematography that is Batman.
Yeah,
because I really want to go see it in IMAX. I haven't seen it in IMAX yet, but it's kind of like they make these films with, you know, certain things for a reason, and it's for the audience to experience it.
Well, there's
on
also
the big
like
screen.
Right, and there's also like some jump scares, and your seat like rattles when it happens too.
Yeah.
So it's like this full experience of
you
know, big screen, your seats are rattling when there's the car scene and whatever.
They had some just really solid action scenes, but 10 out of 10. Really, really enjoyed it. I'm sorry to Robert Pattinson for doubting you, but I did for a while.
If your For You page on TikTok is not like Robert Pattinson, then you're not really a fan.
All my For You page is the Batman and Marvel.
I like the videos where it's, you know, he's walking and it's like the cat sounds.
I know. I'm telling you what though, TikTok, I feel like it's just
failed me.
No, it just I just watch it for pure entertainment, which now because I'm traveling so much for my job, I can't watch it as much. So I like literally like I'll make sure I have time to watch at the end of the day, because it's just like a comedic relief at this point. But yeah, I don't know. I really liked it. He might be my new favorite Batman, and I feel like that's a hill I'm ready to die on. So but
yeah.
All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our review. Any final thoughts, Jenna?
I don't think so. I think we covered all the good things about this movie, and I'm sure it's going to get mixed reviews, which that's okay. But
what doesn't get mixed reviews?
Yeah, that's true.
That's the thing. I know when I decided to like reset this podcast to be about movies because, you know, I was like, I don't have to pay attention to anything. I was like, it's literally like you can agree with us or not. But I hope that you guys do start to like think differently, because the one thing I will say is like there's been a lot of things that I haven't liked in like the DC world that now I'm like starting to understand. So like don't shut it off completely. But I hope that this just like, so if you really were dead set on like Christian Bale's your favorite Batman, that's fine. But I just encourage you to like think about it like in the way of just like he's in the beginning phase of his Batman, like all of this, because that's the one thing. I just don't want Robert Pattinson to like get a bad rap, because it truly was an exceptional performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, he did such a good job. And I saw him in a few interviews, and he was just like, you know, I'm so nervous people are going to hate it. And I felt really bad because, like, I literally was like, he's the worst. And now I'm like, he's the best. So, but yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't know. 10 out of 10. Really liked it. Oh, and if you can, go see it in digital, Prime or IMAX.
Yes.
Like, those are the three, because it, what we saw in, like, Prime, and, like, your seats vibrated. Yeah. It was, like, it was so cool. You got
the whole experience.
You got the whole experience. Or 4DXD.
Yeah.
I think those are only in, like, Mall of America, I think, in LA.
Yeah.
In New York City.
Which, we, our listeners definitely extend that far.
Listen, you don't know. I have no idea who's listening, but I just get, like, a certain, like, map or something, and it's just like, actually, I don't know, I got logged out of my account and I haven't logged back in yet, so I have no idea who's listening or who listens. But, you know, I told myself doing this, I'm like, I'm not gonna put a stamp on it. I was like, it's gonna be what we want to talk about, and people want to listen. I was like, although I do understand that putting this into the DC Marvel world, I'm opening myself up to a lot of pushback, but
that's okay.
It's fine.
I feel like this is the Marvel world is a safe space.
Yeah.
It really is a safe space. I feel like the fans are very,
yeah.
Everyone just wants to have fun.
I know. So, all right. Well, thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
Have a good week.
Boop.
Bye.